The sermon text is the Gospel of St. Luke, the first four verses and the final 10 verses. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Jesus said to the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A generation after Jesus' resurrection and return to heaven, there were a lot of ideas about Jesus floating around in the province of Judea. By that time, Jesus' apostles had fanned out all over the world, taking with them the truth about Jesus Christ. But right there in Judea, where Jesus had actually conducted his ministry, there were all kinds of different ideas rattling around about him. Some were true, some were false, some were sorts of fragments of the truth, and others were just kind of empty rumors. And at that time, there was a man named Luke. He was a Gentile. He was a physician. By the accounts of the early Christian church, he was a very skilled artist, and he was also an excellent writer. And St. Luke set out in search for the truth about Jesus of Nazareth. He wanted to write to his fellow Gentiles and tell them who Jesus actually was and what Jesus had actually accomplished. Now, as a physician, Luke was smart and he was research-minded. As an artist, he paid attention to the details, to the small strokes of things. So Luke started by seeking out eyewitnesses, people who had actually seen Jesus' ministry firsthand. And because human memories distort and fade over time, he searched out as many eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry as he could possibly find. He researched historical records and documents to get as much background information, what was happening in Judea at the time that Jesus carried out his ministry. And after he did all of that careful investigation, all of that searching, St. Luke sat down and he wrote his account of Jesus' life. He addressed it to a fellow Gentile named Theophilus, who was probably Luke's patron, probably supplied Luke with money while he was doing all of his research and investigating and writing. And to thank Theophilus or reward him for that patronage, St. Luke addressed his book to that man. Now, as a Gentile writing to a fellow Gentile, St. Luke is very careful to explain a lot of the customs and terms of the Jewish people that Theophilus would not have understood. And because St. Luke himself was a Gentile, kind of an outsider, he pays special attention to the people in Jesus' story who were kind of living on the margins, on the fringes of his society, the children, the women who faithfully supported Jesus' ministry, the outcasts and the downtrodden that Jesus befriended and spoke to. As a physician, St. Luke shows this fascination with the miracles where Jesus heals people. And as a skilled writer, St. Luke produces work that it's not just a piece of Greek writing, but it's literature. And this story of Jesus' life is Luke's gospel that we call by his name. And later on, Luke also wrote a second book, also addressed to Theophilus. This one that traces the early years of the Christian church as the gospel first spread around the world. So you see, when the Holy Spirit picked Luke, when he selected St. Luke to be the man who would write this gospel, this account of Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit made a very wise choice. He picked a man who would search, who would go into detail and find the truth and then tell the truth of the Jesus of Nazareth in detail, and not only that, but tell it accurately and tell it beautifully. And the final result that St. Luke produced under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit delivered this message to Theophilus and to everyone else who has read St. Luke's gospel since. Jesus of Nazareth is the one. Earlier, we heard the first few verses and the last few verses of St. Luke's gospel, and in those bookends, St. Luke uses this critical word, fulfilled. The Old Testament writings of Israel had made some very specific predictions about who the Savior, who the Messiah would be, and what that Messiah would accomplish. And the message that St. Luke sends to Theophilus and everyone who has read his gospel ever since, Jesus of Nazareth is the one who fulfills them all. Jesus fulfills every prophecy about the Messiah setting the prisoners free and restoring sight to the blind. He is the Holy One of God, who lived a life free from sin. He is the Holy One who was sacrificed on the altar of the cross. He is the Holy One who was not abandoned to the grave, who did not see decay, but was raised to life again on the third day. And he is the Holy One who has been raised to the right hand of his Heavenly Father to rule all things for eternity. This is the truth that St. Luke searched for so carefully and under the Holy Spirit's inspiration recorded. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our Savior, our holy substitute, sacrificed for our sins, raised from the dead, and returned to the right hand of the Father. Today, we thank God the Holy Spirit for using St. Luke to search for, find, and to record this saving truth of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for preserving St. Luke's gospel all the way down through the centuries so that it rests in our hands today. Because obviously, you and I can't do what Luke did. We can't search out actual eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry. And the historical documents that St. Luke researched have crumbled up and blown away. And even a lot of the names of the places that Luke identifies in his gospel, those names have changed over the centuries as kingdoms and empires rise and fall. But this we still have. We still have the text of St. Luke's gospel. And we still have the text of his book of Acts. And more than that, we have three other gospels that tell us the beautiful saving truth of Jesus Christ. We have the writings of Jesus' apostles. And we have all of those prophecies from the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. That truth of Jesus Christ is still here for us today, for us to search and to know the truth about the Son of God. And it is so easy for us to take that for granted. It is so easy for us to look at Luke's gospel and the rest of Scripture and to say, I know what I need to know to get into heaven. I really need to know anything. What am I, some kind of theologian? I mean, how much of this do I really need to know? It's so easy to get to the end of a long day and say, I already did so much today. I'm so tired. And so the Scripture sits unsearched, unlearned. May God give us hearts like St. Luke. Hearts that eagerly search the truth of Jesus Christ and know in detail the facts on which our faith rests. Because when we search the truth of Christ, like Luke did, we will also stay in that truth the way Luke did. As part of his search for the truth, St. Luke followed Paul all the way around the Mediterranean on Paul's missionary journeys. So St. Luke actually became an eyewitness himself of many of the things that he wrote about in his book of Acts. Eventually, though, St. Paul's missionary journeys came to an end, and so did Paul's time in this world. He was arrested and placed in a prison cell in Rome, where he was waiting for his head to be placed on the chopping block. And while Paul was sitting in that prison cell in Rome, he had some friends and some helpers there with him. St. Luke was one of them. And there was also another man there named Demas, at least until Demas left. From his death row prison cell, St. Paul wrote, "Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me." So understand, when Demas left St. Paul, he wasn't just abandoning a man. He wasn't just leaving a guy. He was also deserting God's truth. The reason Demas left is because he loved this world. Maybe it was money, maybe it was pleasure, maybe it was one of the countless other lures of this world, but whatever it was, it pulled Demas away from God's apostle and away from the truth to chase after the things of this world. But there was someone who stayed. There was someone who resisted the calls of the world and stayed with St. Paul and stayed with the truth of God. Guess who? Paul wrote, "Only Luke is with me." Luke stayed with Paul, and he stayed with God's truth. Now, why did he do that? What made St. Luke resist the pull of the world and stay with the truth of God? For a few minutes, just listen to some of the truth that Luke searched for and recorded in his gospel. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone.' The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' 'Be quiet,' Jesus said sternly. 'Come out of him.' Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. But Jesus said, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.' And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But the Father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. 2 other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place of the skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them. and was taken up into heaven. Everything you just heard is from the gospel that St. Luke wrote. Now, I know that was a lot, I understand. But St. Luke's gospel is like a giant bag of Doritos. Once you get in there, it's so good that it's really hard to stop and get yourself out of it. See, that is the truth of Jesus Christ that St. Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, searched for, found, and recorded. That God sent his Son into this world, born of a virgin. That Jesus Christ knew exactly who he was and why he was here, and he taught it over and over again. He proved it with miracle after miracle. He predicted what was going to happen to him over and over again until finally it did. He suffered and died on the cross for the sins of the world. But he rose 3 days later to give life to the world, together with the forgiveness that he had won on the cross, and he proved his resurrection by showing himself in the flesh over and over again to his followers until he finally ascended to his Father's right hand. That is the truth that St. Luke searched for, the eternal love of God in Jesus Christ. And that's why when Demas turned and walked out the door to chase after the world, St. Luke stayed with that truth, because it is God's eternal love in Christ. There are so many things in this world that Satan uses to try to separate us from this truth of Jesus Christ. And in our weaker moments, chasing after the things of this world is what we do. But that is also a sin that Jesus died for and forgives. May God give us hearts like St. Luke that search God's truth and know it. Because when we have those hearts, we will stay in the truth, because it is the most important and precious thing in this world. God, make us like St. Luke, people who search for your truth, see its eternal value, and stay in it until the end. Amen.